Well, good morning. I hope you slept well. I just have to say I'm grateful for being here. I'm Melissa Rao. I'm the Senior Program Director for Leadership at Episcopal Church Foundation. I had the delight and the privilege and honor of being with you last year and being a workshop presenter. And so I'm thrilled to be back among you. I was telling someone this morning, and I'm sorry for not remembering who, I've had lots of conversations already, but this group of people at the Diocese of Virginia, the clergy, the lay professionals, are an exceptionally hospitable group. And I count myself fortunate to be in and among you. So I'm grateful for that. So let's get started. Are you looking forward to wonder and awe? Yeah, we're going to talk about powerful questions today. We're going to be talking about other things tomorrow, but I'm hoping that you will just throw yourselves in there, be vulnerable with one another, and be open to learning from each other. A little bit about ECF before we get started. Well, let's see if this is going to work. Is it working? Oh my goodness, y'all. Here we go. Okay, so a little bit about the Episcopal Church Foundation. We do a whole heck of a lot with and for the church. We care deeply about resourcing you all so that the church can be the best that it can be. One of the things, areas that I manage at, in the Leadership Resources Department is Episcopal Church Foundation Vital Practices. If you're not a subscriber, you should remedy that today. You can subscribe by visiting ECFVP, as in vitalpractices.org. We have an amazing fellowship partners program. So if you feel like you're about to enter into the academic life as someone who's going to be trying to earn a doctorate, or someone who has a fantastic ministry idea that they want to try but would otherwise be unable to do it without a big chunk of money, we would be interested in talking with you, because we have ECF fellows that really go on to do amazing things for the church, and we would love to be able to sponsor you in that way. I also do a lot with partnerships and collaborations, so I'd like to share with you some of the partnerships and collaborations that we're most excited about. Forma has joined the ECF family, and for that we're grateful. So Bill Campbell and I get to work a lot together. We're also in formal collaboration with Gathering of Leaders, and if you'd like to learn more about that, I'd be happy to share that with you. We do consulting for churches. We do endowment management for dioceses, schools, churches, you name it. We talk about planned giving, and we do a lot with donor-advised funds. So we've got a lot of resources. We have a lot of information down at the table, downstairs at the check-in desk. So if you'd like to learn more, please stop by. So that's about ECF. Now, what about me? This is my crazy brood. My husband is an Episcopal priest. We've been married for 20 years. And I've got three great kids. I've got a 19-year-old daughter, Natalie. She's a sophomore at Boston Conservatory at Berkeley. My middle child, Kirsten, is 15. She is awesome and well-adjusted and just goes with the flow. And my son, Peyton, is 13, and he is 5'7". So these pictures are a bit outdated. And then the two crazy animals up in the upper right-hand corner, that's my puppy, Reese, who is 13 and a half, and our crazy parrot, Mars, who is just a pain in the butt. But we like him. He's got personality. So something about me. I'm passionate about a lot of things. And I really appreciated the conversation that I had with Bishop Susan and Julie about what I would talk about with you all today and tomorrow. And I had presented a workshop called Becoming Neighborhood Church or something like that last year. We talked a lot about numbers. We talked a lot about perhaps focusing on the wrong things. And since I already delivered that, what possibly could I talk about with you all? And it was through conversations that I think Julie or Bishop Susan said, what are you most passionate about? And I said, well, I'm passionate and I'm really kind of good at visioning. I care about leadership. I care about asking really great questions, and I care about the ministry of the baptized. And so how do you like smush all of that stuff together? And it was kind of a magical moment when Julie celebrated. She said, you know, I'm really excited that this year's theme for the clergy conference, or this year, I think, is wonder in awe. And it actually gave me goosebumps Because what do you need in order to wonder? Questions. You need raw curiosity, right? And so those are things that I really started to get into, you know, get excited about. And so as we're talking on the phone, or maybe it was Zoom, we were talking about some of the stuff that I'm passionate about, and it's just so, I think it was Bishop Susan who said, what if we just talked about questions? What if we just asked questions? And then I got really excited. And so that's kind of what we're going to be basing ourselves in, and especially today. We're going to be wrestling with some of the questions, many of the questions that Jesus asked. Then we're going to focus a little bit tomorrow to what are some of the wrong questions we've been asking? And what can we do to reshape the narrative that we're telling ourselves, let alone our congregations? So that's what we're going to be talking about, powerful questions, changing our narrative. We're going to be talking about what really is discipleship, how structure matters, and we're going to then shift gear to what a new paradigm could be and talk about a new way forward. And that's very dependent upon you all. And so in order to engage our work together, I'm hoping that we can kind of come to a few rules of engagement, mutual understanding about our time together. Now, there are some folks in the back, and if you're comfortable, great. But there are a number of, you don't move now because this is just the introduction and y'all are going to be on your way soon. So don't feel like you have to get up. But when you come back, if there are open chairs at the round tables, I would encourage you to sit there rather than in the back, because we will be having conversations with one another. And so my prayer for us today is not only I hope that you will take something that I'm able to offer and learn, yet I'm also praying, I expect to learn from you. But most importantly, I expect that you all will be open and will contribute and learn from one another. And so that's really something I'm looking forward to. So for the rest of the few short minutes that we have together, I'm checking my time, 5 more minutes. I'm doing well. The rules of engagement. First and foremost, be curious. Be curious and ask questions. Be conversational. Listen, I know I'm a raging extrovert. And I also know that introverts have a whole heck of a lot of great things to say if we give them the chance to talk, right? So I don't know if y'all understand, does everybody know the term Indaba? Indaba means, if for those that you aren't aware, it means everybody at the table should have a chance to speak. Before you repeat yourself, be sure that everyone has contributed. And so that means, introverts, I'm going to ask something of you as well. Engage, please, because you have amazing things to say. And practice Indaba for those extroverts who just want to get in and share and share and share. Let's step back a little bit. Now, these single-starred ones, they are from the Guidelines for Mutuality from Visions, Inc. But we'd like you to try on new things. Based upon the conversations that you have around the table, I invite you to try on something new. It's also okay to disagree. Don't try and convert anyone to your way of thinking, but be okay with the disagreement. Be respectful in that mutuality. It's not okay to blame, shame, attack yourself or others. I feel like it's easy to say that about other people, but sometimes we are so self-deprecating. We apologize for the thoughts or the opinions that we have. Y'all, try to avoid that today and tomorrow, and maybe always. Don't blame, shame, attack yourself or others. You want to practice self-focus. What does that mean? I'm not saying let's be self-absorbed for the next 2 days. What I am saying is really focus in on what feels good, what might not feel good, and try to examine the way it matters to you. You might learn something not only of the person sitting across from you, but my hope is that you will learn something equally about yourself throughout. Next, you need to understand that you are 100% responsible for your own learning. I work with a professional coach. I'm also a coach myself, so this is another thing. Questions, powerful questions, is kind of the hallmark of what a coach does. A coach will ask questions, pull things out from you that you already have, right? And help you realize what the next steps might be. In that, you are all 100% responsible for your own learning. And so you're gonna get out of this what you put into it, right? We also think both and thinking. One of my least favorite words in the entire English dictionary is the word but. And if y'all were in my workshop, some of y'all were in my workshop last year about that big buts video, who was there for that? If you haven't seen that, you want to Google. Now, here's the thing. Don't Google big butts with two T's. You want to Google big butt with one T, church video. So that's what you want to Google. Big butts, church video, one T. And it's an exceptional video. Friends, we want to talk about both and. Let's try to avoid the words but or however, right? So let's try and focus on that. And I would love for you all to get out of yourself and go, gosh, how often do I use that word? Friends, it's a habit. And unless you're actually focusing on it, it's very difficult to catch yourself. And when you say the word but, see what I just did there? When you say the word but, it negates everything that preceded it, right? So let's try and use better, what is that, a prepositional phrase? What's that called? Conjunction, whatever. I actually did well in English, but I forget all those things. It's okay to be, both and thinking. Let's, friends, what you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here, okay? So when we're asking questions of one another and we are promoting vulnerability, let's be present with one another. Many of you have stoles. I'm going to hold you all accountable to that under the stole thing. I want to encourage you to be vulnerable with one another. Let's just remember that it might be sensitive. So I welcome that. I would also remind you that some of the conversations that you're talking about, if you would like to share the experience you had, try to avoid using other people's stories, okay? It's okay to be messy. This is all from the Diocese, the Episcopal Church in Connecticut. It's okay to be messy. We don't need to have all the answers. And in fact, over the next 2 days, hopefully you'll understand that it's actually a lot better to have more questions than answers. And it's okay to say, ouch. This might be from beloved community as well. When it hurts you, let people know. Say, ooh, that hurt a little bit. Here's why. And hopefully the person hearing you will respect and remember that in the future. So these are my rules of engagement that I'm inviting you in. And I'm wondering if I missed anything. Is there anything that anybody of y'all would recommend that we add to this list? I statements, thank you. So Dorothy, thank you. That's part of the self-focused stuff too. Use I statements rather than you statements. Be very in the speaking for you and not assuming that you should be speaking for others. Thank you for that. Anything else? Yes.
The word but, sometimes we could substitute the word and.
That's exactly right. Both and. So that's when it's actually so much better, and sometimes it can be easy. It's too easy, and yet we don't do it, right? And yet we don't do it. So yes, thank you for that. Okay, friends, it's time. I think it's time for you to move on. I'm excited to be with you. Go forth and learn. Yes. Thank you.